are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 19th of April. A fun one versus the Lakers. Did it teach us something new? The duds are finally coming out as expected, and it's a Trends Monday. We're doing it all on Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Jazz Lakers again today. If you get a chance today, you heard Brian Peacock to open the show today. We are launching today the ultimate NFL mock draft. It's in collaboration with Odyssey. It has Michael Irvin, Brian Baldinger, Ross Tucker, over 70 different voices between the college and NFL experts of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's a five-day series. It's on its own podcast feed. It's the ultimate mock draft 2021. The ultimate mock draft 2021. Please subscribe, listen, and review. It's the best thing we've ever done at Locked On. It's pretty amazing. You guys have been with us from the very beginning to see the growth of this network. This is an example of like, wow, I cannot believe that we have got this out. So go check it out. It's incredible and absolutely worth the listen. All right. So what we thought was going to be a total dud turned out to be really, really fun on Saturday. The five All-Stars sitting out, Jazz playing the Lakers, and, you know, you thought it was going to be an awful game. If anything, I think it reminded us that this league is prime for expansion. We've gone longer than we've ever gone in the history of the game without expansion. The game has evolved more than it ever has internationally, and I think, you know, there's just a ton of talent, and we saw that in that game, and the Jazz, it went to overtime. It was a great deal of fun to watch. We obviously missed Rudy a great deal. Our defensive rating was a 120 by the end. By quarter, it was a 136 in the first quarter. It was a 135 in the second quarter. We just didn't stop anyone. It was a 116 in the third. And then in the fourth quarter, the Lakers' offense just fell apart. It was a 72 in that quarter. They absolutely collapsed offensively. And then in the overtime, we fell apart. I thought it was a really interesting game. And I thought the Jazz might have discovered a little something in here. And The little bit in there that I think is that they might have discovered is the value of Ilyasova as a stretch five. And so what I mean, I don't know that we ever use it. It's just another quiver, you know, for you to have. And what the Jazz did the other day with Ilyasova playing a stretch five is suddenly Royce O'Neal's cutting to the basket. Suddenly Bojan Bogdanovic is coming back. Suddenly, you know, there's a back cut for Jordan Clarkson. There just was a lot of different little things that we did in that game that you don't usually see out of us because we're either playing a high pick and roll or Rudy is holding up the, you know, is in the middle and there's not a lane for someone to cut. Not a criticism. I'd far rather have Rudy. But what we saw the other day was the ability to play five out with Ilyasova, and then Ilyasova obviously going 5 for 5 from three was significantly changed the game. And I don't think we can call that sustainable, as I joked on Twitter. But I think that what you saw was the fact that, you know, and give Ilyasova credit, out of nowhere he played 32 minutes, now has a tight hamstring, no surprise. He was great. And no one, you know, had 4 steals, 2 blocks. I thought he was just terrific. 6 of 8 from three is even more terrific. But it's another approach. So, you know, I don't know, again, I don't know that you're pulling Derek. You know, and really in the playoffs, Rudy's playing 38 to 40 minutes, I think. And so we're talking about 4 or 5 minutes, but maybe there's a day where our offense is really struggling. We're playing the Lakers and their length is getting to us. We're having a hard time. The Clippers have gone small with Ibaka, and we're at, like, whatever it might be, I think you have to start looking at and saying, okay, this is an option. And it's a nice, you know, that's a nice pickup by the front office. Justin Zanuck was Ilyasova's agent for a long time and knows him a good deal. And so that's a good pickup. And great credit. And there's just another option, right? I think that was important that we discovered that in that game. And the offensive rating was very good when he was on the floor. And, you know, it was just, and Drummond was not bothering him at all in the pull-up. And then I don't think Drummond might have scored once on a post-up on him. So he showed some toughness. Frankly, he took a charge late in the game that would have changed the game if the officials didn't screw it up. If you go back to that, he takes a charge that actually would have won the game. Like, it's his sixth foul. It's a huge freaking call, frankly. I didn't think they made the right call on it, and the league came out and said that they didn't. But it's a 103-102 game, 103-101 game. Ilyasova gets called. Actually, that was probably earlier. 105-103 game. 105-102, 2:13 left. O'Neal gets the dunk on that exact cut I'm talking about, where he drives the lane. There's nobody was there just because the spacing was so good. And then Ilyasova, which should have been a charge, Jazz would have had the ball, 105-102. O'Neal misses the next three. You know, Schroeder then makes it. So who knows? It's, you know, the butterfly effect, but that's 2 points that they got on that, which is disappointing. Royce, I'll tell you what, I'm finding myself on, like, every side of the discussion here with Royce O'Neal. I couldn't be more impressed and more concerned at the same time. So I couldn't be more impressed that this guy has 50 rebounds in his last 5 games. 50. He's 6'4". He has 50 rebounds in his last 5 games. It's incredible. The other thing he's doing is his passing is way up. He's averaging 3 assists a game over this time period. And so you just see what an incredible team player and important cog he is to the team. I've never been bothered by his lack of usage. And what I mean by that is, like, the fact that he doesn't take a lot of shots is actually good for us because we have too many shots on every single in our roster. Like, I think what you're seeing with Boyan, frankly, is, you know, if you go look at Boyan's numbers, anytime somebody's out, he's terrific. Anytime we're at full strength, he doesn't get the touches and looks that he usually gets, and he doesn't have as good a game. And so I think there's just, so to have someone like Royce, who's on the floor and usually a very low usage player, though the Lakers lured him into 14 shots and 10 three-point shots the other night, I think it's fine. He's, like, got the lowest usage of anyone in the league. He's got the highest rate of guarding the number one option of anyone in the league. I think it's fine. What's happening right now is that his three-point shooting is so bad, unfortunately, that they're not actually guarding him at all. And over the last 9 games, he's now at 11% from three, maybe 12. And 29% overall. It's crossed over where, as much as I, like, 50 rebounds in 5 games, 4 assists a game, incredible admiration, like, they're not guarding him. The Jazz were running pick and rolls, guard to guard pick and roll action with him, and the Lakers were just double teaming the ball and not worrying about getting back to Royce. And there's two areas there where, one is Royce's release takes a long time, and two, he's hesitating to take the shot, rightfully so. Like, I'm not going to, like, let's not bang on a guy for hesitating for taking a shot when he's 4 for his last, like, 40 from three. Like, come on. Like, if you've put, like, 12 of your last 20 tee shots into the woods, you're going to be hesitating when you take a shot. Like that's basically, if you use a golf analogy, assuming that some of you golf, You're talking about a guy who, you know, frankly, he's got the shanks, right? Like he's unfortunately, he's not firing the range right now. And so when he suddenly puts, sets up to the tee box and his last 49 3-point shots, he's made about like four of them or five of them. Well, you're a little tentative, right? Like I think that's understandable. And so, you know, he went 2 of 10 the other day. One was on a prayer where he didn't have to think about it at all. But it's a little disconcerting how little he's being guarded. And frankly, we have to have him on the floor. He's our one guy who can defend people. So he's incredibly important to this team and this franchise. And right now, that shooting is problematic. Let's have a discussion about resting and young guys. And I told you that the league was going to give us some duds, and we're beginning to see that take place. Phoenix the other night, we'll dig into that in a little bit. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy, located in Woods Cross and in Logan. The Chevy lineup of trucks is like no other. And Murdoch Chevy is like no other. The Murdoch family has been in Utah for over, I keep saying 90 years, it might be 80. At that point, it really doesn't matter, right? And they're part of Utah. Chevy's a part of Americana. It is a winning team, and the Chevy lineup keeps getting better and better. When you think Chevy, you think the awesome trucks, the Silverado and the Colorado. But I'm telling you what, I have two friends now who have the Bolt electric car, and they are blown away by it. So go check it out. It's the Bolt Premier and the Bolt, the 2021. And I couldn't believe this. I was on their website looking at it the other day when I was talking to a friend. They have an MSRP of $44,000, but the Murdoch No Regrets price is $27,567. I'm not quite sure how Murdoch's able to do that, and I hope it's not a typo that I'm talking about on the air, but it sure seems like it. I mean, kind of an incredible deal. Plus, you have the Colorado, and the SUV lineup's so strong. The new Blazer and Trailblazer with the Equinox as well, and then, of course, the Tahoe and the Suburban. It is Murdoch Chevy. Stop by Woods Cross, also Logan. If you're going to go by, feel free to email me first, dlock09@gmail.com, and we'll set you up with that VIP experience to make sure that you have the best experience. It's over at Murdoch Chevy. Murdoch's 80 plus years in Utah. Chevy, part of Americana. It is the perfect combination. It's Murdoch Chevy with a great lineup of cars as well. Today's show is brought to you by betonline.ag. Locked On Bets, bringing you the daily podcast, 15 minutes or more at betonline.ag. I don't know about the Nets and Kevin Durant's injuries again. Like, he's coming off an Achilles. His body's clearly failing him. Maybe that's not the answer. Championship rates on the Nets are plus 220. Maybe the Lakers at 340. Maybe the Clippers at 600. Maybe the Jazz at 800 are better angles. Maybe the Bucks at 900. Don't know. I've been as in on the Nets as anyone alive, but I got to admit, I'm a little questioning it right now. As I think that there's like, at some point you just have to decide that his legs are not coming around. By the way, Jazz today at LA, -7 for the Jazz against the Lakers in LA. Denver -7 against the Grizzlies. Suns 2.5-point dogs in Milwaukee. That's the one we'll be watching very, very closely. All brought to you by betonline.ag. 50% welcome bonus with the promo code Locked On. 50% welcome bonus with the promo code Locked On. All right, there's a lot of discussion going on about resting. Let me make sure I say this well, because I don't want it to be misinterpreted. I think if I was and I'm about to do it right now, if I was a media member, and I write for the Salt Lake Tribune or do a talk show for 1280 The Zone or for anybody else, you would have to talk about the resting situation right now. You have to talk about it. And you have to talk about it in this interesting discussion about whether or not you care about the number one seed versus resting and health versus seeding and that. It's a great discussion. It should be taking place. You guys should be talking about amongst yourself. The only thing I think that's wrong about the discussion right now is we actually don't have the data and information that we need to have the discussion. So, did the Jazz rest Rudy Gobert, or was there really something wrong and that there was some rehab that could get done by not playing. Are the Jazz really resting Derek Favors, or is there really something wrong and how significant? The Jazz played Mike Conley on a back-to-back recently. Was there a reaction to playing that back-to-back? We don't know these things. And so, and obviously Donovan's hurt. We just don't really have enough information at all to hold this conversation. There's, we just don't. And so it's an interesting philosophical discussion about resting versus seeding and seeding versus health. But frankly, it's being done at like 30% knowledge. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And I'm not being critical of anyone who's discussing this in any way, shape, or form, because the information we need to have to hold the discussion, we're not given. We don't have that information, and yet we have to talk about it because it's a discussion. It's just a really poorly done discussion, even if done well. And I think it's being done as well as it can be done. I just wanted to point out, and I'm probably the one person in a position, because like Andy Larson, who does a great job of the Salt Lake Tribune, Ben Dowson, who does a great job in his blogs and his tweeting and all that, Dan Clayton, who does an amazing job at Salt Lake Hoops, Sarah Todd does a great job at the Deseret News, Eric Wall, like I'm throwing them all in there, like, you know, DJ, PK, Spence, all of them, they have to talk about this. But they can't come out and say what I just said, because it neuters the entire conversation. Hey, by the way, I'm going to write a whole 5 paragraphs about this, but I really don't have enough information to hold the conversation. Like, no, it's a really good discussion, and it's really interesting on what you should be doing as a team right now. But the fact is, I don't know, we don't know. Like, Mike Conley played 24 minutes on a back end of a back-to-back. Was he crazy sore the next day? And so, all right, we're done with back-to-backs. We're not doing that anymore. Like, I don't know. Rudy Gobert's played every game all year long. Did we really sit him out just like on the six with 16 games left in the season? Or was there a reason he sat out in LA? Derek Favors was noticeably laboring in his last game, in my opinion. I thought his gait looked awful. And so, not awful. Like, I've seen it look awful. His gait looked affected. And so, if his gait looks affected, he's probably hurt. If it was a, and so what do you like? So that's just my thought on that. The other one is young guys. We actually really just got a very good representation about why teams with young players don't win and why young players don't do much in the playoffs. So against Oklahoma City, who is not playing like high level NBA talent, a bunch of our guys looked really, really good. Like a bunch of our guys had an impact. Jarrell Brantley was terrific. We've seen Mia Oney in certain games have an impact. And then, you know, Trent Forrest looked okay. Like, against the Lakers, even without LeBron and AD, like, they weren't good. Like, Jarrell Brantley played 7 feckless minutes. Trent Forrest played 12 feckless minutes. Mia Oney only played 2 minutes, as they're trying to find. Like, that's not surprising. Juwan Morgan, who I thought played pretty well, was minus 19 in 19 minutes. Like, I was like, whoa. And I actually thought he battled, played well, did. Some of it's because the overtime, Ilyasova fouls out. And so Morgan's on the floor for the overtime, which is a little misleading. I thought he battled, gets in the right place, makes himself available. I thought he was actually okay, pretty strong. He just does a lot of things right on the floor, instinctually, which is impressive. But this is not to criticize Trent Forrest or Jarrell Brantley or in any way, shape, or form to say like they're not going to be NBA players or anything like that. It's just why as we start to tighten the screws here and we start getting excited because Jarrell Brantley plays good against Oklahoma City, and I did it myself and talked about, well, maybe you could use him for a few minutes. Probably not. And the biggest reason probably not is with their limited experience, you just don't know what you're going to get. There's no way to know right now when you roll out one of these guys who's played like 200 career minutes, what they're going to give you. You can hope, but hoping in the playoffs is a pretty risky approach. So to me, that's the thought I have on that. And I thought that showed the other day. Like, they're just not quite. So the Lakers right now, even though they don't miss their own guys, they've got Kuzma, who's like a four-year veteran. Markieff Morris is probably like in his ninth year. Andre Drummond's like in his 10th. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's in his 8th. Dennis Schroeder's in like his 9th, right? Montrezl Harrell's in his 6th. Wesley Matthews is in like his 13th. And so Caruso's in his 4th. And Talen Tucker's in his 2nd. And frankly, I thought Horton Tucker only looked okay. Like, I thought the same thing for Horton Tucker. Like, they're going to have, I don't think, he's a neat player. That's a great pickup by them. 2nd round draft pick, 20 years old. I'm going to be surprised if he's in their playoff rotation minutes. Like, I'm not sure you know what you're going to get. Like, you've got a pretty good idea on all those other names I mentioned, even though they don't have LeBron and AD with them, like what you're getting out of them when you roll them out. And that's, you have to have that in the playoffs. You have to know what you're going to get from the guys that you roll out. Today's show brought to you by, of course, Built Bar. How many Built Bars did you have this weekend? It's not a question if you had your Built Bar this weekend. It's a question of how many Built Bars did you have this weekend? Built Bar, protein bar, candy bar, no other protein bar is like it. Go now, get 3 packets of Built Go with your purchase and all sorts of great flavors. They dropped out the cookie dough crunch and it was gone in a minute the other day. You almost have to be on their email mailing list like I am to be able to get those. And yes, I did get some. Use the promo code LOCKED15 to get your next order. Right now, you can make an order and get all of the Built Bars that are out there. Mint brownie, coconut almond, salted caramel, coconut. There's just nothing better than the combination of the 100% real chocolate that is Built Bar with the incredible macros that makes Built Bar like no other. We're talking incredible macros, only 130 calories, only 2.5 fat grams, only 4 net carbs, and only 4 grams of sugar while getting 17 grams of protein. It's Built Bar, BuiltBar.com. Promo code LOCKED15 gets you 15% off. Also, today's show is brought to you by Indeed. If you're like locked on and expanding and growing and building and you're hiring and need an expert for your company, then Indeed is the place to do. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, interview. Sounds like a Quinn Snyder play. All on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. That's pretty cool. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easier. In fact, the data shows it with the tools that Indeed Instant Match, giving your quality candidates whose resume on Indeed fits your job description, and Indeed skills test, on average, reduces hiring time by 27%. My goodness, could I have more things in life that save me 27%? Right now, get started for a free $75 sponsored job credit. Upgrade your post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Okay, I'm not done yet because we have a few things to talk about and trends Monday, but Ultimate Mock Draft 2021. When you're done with the show, it's time for the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021. All right, I told you that we were going to begin to see the duds. And we've begun to see the duds. So last night, the Portland Trailblazers lose to the Charlotte Hornets. Dame Lillard sitting out due to injury and illness. And like, they just have missed their opportunity. Now they're starting Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. And they're playing Enes Kanter and Carmelo Anthony still off the bench. And they just, the Hornets playing, they still should have won this game. The Hornets don't have 4 of their starters. They don't have Gordon Hayward. They don't have LaMelo Ball. They don't have Cody Zeller. And they don't have Devontae Graham, if you think he's one of their starters. They might be starting 2 starters if you think Miles Bridges and Terry Rozier are both starters. Cody Zeller came off the bench, so Vernon Carey Jr. could start. Because he's, what? No, that's just, so there, that's like Portland on the road. And then the biggest dud of all is the Mavericks, who lost at home to Sacramento, who had lost 9 straight. De'Aaron Fox had 30. Luka had 37, but got nothing else. Finney Smith goes 6 of 8 again from 3, but Kristaps was just a 0, minus 24 on the outing. Tim Hardaway was a 0. J.J. Redick's not giving him anything. Like, this is what we kind of knew was happening, going to happen here with this schedule and the amount of games people are playing, is we're going to get some duds. And then the interesting one over the weekend is the Phoenix Suns fell on Saturday in dudliest of all dud fashions with their performance against San Antonio, their first game out, or before they left on their five-game brutal road trip, 111-85. The Spurs started Derek White, DeJounte Murray, Keldon Johnson, Lucas Samanich, and Drew Eubanks. The Suns started their regular guys because they've been as healthy as we've been all year and lost by 30. That's a bad one. I think they actually lost by 26, but they were down by 30. They just didn't have it. They went 6 of 27 from 3. They just make or miss league. They went 7 of 16 from the free throw line. Like, they just did not have it. But that's, thank goodness for us, because we gave one away against the Lakers, and they are now a game and a half back again, and here they start their brutal five-game road trip. And so this is where the whole route race for number one comes to an end right here in the next five games, and what happens over the next five games will tell you everything that you need to know. The Suns, here's their schedule for the next five games. Just follow it more closely than the Jazz, frankly, because it'll probably dictate what happens here. Tonight they play Milwaukee. They're off and then play Philadelphia. On a back-to-back, they play Boston. They get Friday and Saturday off before playing Brooklyn and New York back-to-back. They come home from that to play the LA Clippers and then get another day off and play us next. After that, they're not losing another game for the rest of the year. Unless they are just so worn out. But this next five-game stretch is everything that you need to know for the number one seed. All right, let's do our trends Monday. We always like to look at cleaning the glass first. Who's hot, who's not over the last 2 weeks. And then we like to look at the last 10 games because that's sometimes a better representation of a little longer period of time. COVID was striking. It was back. The number one team in the NBA for the last 10 games or last 2 weeks is the LA Clippers. They have the best differential. Golden State, 5-2 in their last seven, is the second best. Steph twisted an ankle. I was listening to Locked On today, and they were talking about that. Philadelphia's the third best. Denver, the fourth. Memphis, amazingly, the fifth. And New York, who's 6-2 in the last eight, is the sixth best. We're sitting at 8. Our offense is 14th. Our defense is 8th over the last 2 weeks. Teams that are really struggling, no big surprise, Oklahoma City, Orlando, Houston. But Miami is a big surprise, 27th, Sacramento, Minnesota, and New Orleans, 29th offensively. I guess the lack of shooting finally catching up to them. The offensive teams in the last 2 weeks, the Clippers and the Memphis Grizzlies are the number two offense in the league, followed by Denver, Golden State, all West, Brooklyn, and Atlanta. The teams that can't score right now are Oklahoma City, New Orleans, surprising, Orlando, Sac. So with Zion, they can't score. How's that possible? Orlando, Sacramento, Charlotte, and Washington. Miami also 24th, and the Lakers 23rd. Best defense in the NBA recently, Philadelphia, followed by Washington. Where'd that come from? New York. Washington, by the way, is 6-2 in their last eight. Like, we've caught them right when they were plugging in. Lakers, fourth best, incredible work by Frank Vogel. Golden State, fifth best defense. Golden State's been really good recently in Toronto over the last 2 weeks. The worst defenses in the league, Houston, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Miami again. Miami somehow 3-4 in this stretch. Orlando and then Indiana. All right, let's take a look at the last 10 games trends and see if they're any different. The number one offense in the league is Memphis over the last 10 games. That's incredible. Clippers, Phoenix, Brooklyn, Denver, Atlanta, Jazz are 7. Wow, Memphis is the number one offense over the last 10 games. The worst offense is Oklahoma City, Orlando, New Orleans again, Washington, Charlotte, Cleveland, and Sacramento, and then the Lakers. Number one defense last 10 games is the 76ers by a good deal, followed by the Knicks, the Raptors, the Lakers, the Jazz, and the Wizards. Again, Boston's in there at 7th. Worst defenses are Houston, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Orlando, Sacramento. Indiana, surprising. Chicago got Vucevic, and now they can't defend. Not surprising. The best teams over the last 10 games, Clippers, Knicks, Jazz, Memphis, Phoenix, Denver. Worst, Oklahoma City, Orlando, Sacramento, Houston, Minnesota, Cleveland. No surprises. That is your Trends Monday. That is Locked On. You know what you're supposed to do now, right? You know what you're supposed to do. Ultimate Mock Draft 2021. Go listen. It's incredible. Hope you enjoy it. Leave a review. Tell 12 friends. Talk to you soon.